Want to talk to the membership today about the latest propaganda put out by the company on JetNet. Another letter from David Seymour and Kerry Filipovich talking about alleged proposals that they made during bargaining. And I'm going to have to look at some reference documents along the way. But first and foremost, I want to talk about this calculator that they put out. And they got a disclaimer on there that you got to sign in and agree to. And the last line of it should give you evidence to what you should or shouldn't believe. The tool does not serve as a promise or commitment from the company, but can give team members an idea of the value of American's current contract proposal. Well, right there, it tells you that they're lying to you, I guess is the best way to say it. to their document they put out, first of all, it's from Kerry Filipovich and David Seymour, who weren't at bargaining and have only participated once, even though they make these allegations that they would be there, could be there, but never show up. So Jerry Glass is doing their negotiating, and I want to be clear that the first thing they say is that on the first day of talks, we proposed two very significant improvements to our current offer, and they go into the first one, which talks about pay for mechanics. That proposal was never made. So I'm not sure why Doug Parker, Robert Isom, Kerry Filipovich, David Seymour, and Stephen Johnson, the five that seem to be running the show here doing these negotiations, don't participate, first of all. But they put their names to stuff that isn't even true. There was no proposal made by the company on wages. They allude to what we might get. The calculator talks about what we might get, but there's nothing that's been provided to us on a piece of paper that says this is a proposal that we're making on economics. It's all stories, and again, filled with innuendo. And none of it marries up to a number that gets to where Delta plus their profit sharing, or say Southwest and their profit sharing. Until they put those things on paper and propose them, they don't exist. And the best wages or the best premiums or those types of things, they're not something that we have physically gotten so we can compare and say whether they aren't or they are. But they make it out like they didn't, and that's just a flat out lie. And it's getting old, the lies that they tell. And I used to say they were embellishing the truth. These are just lies. They go on to talk about the IAM medical, and there was a proposal, so to speak, or they alluded to a proposal on the medical, and they've written that down here, and I think there's a lot more, as we've talked about in the past. The IAM's medical is a piece of what's in medical, but there's also the cost of medical, how we validate that. There's multiple components to health and welfare that, again, these bullet points don't speak to. And my understanding is on Friday last week that Doug Parker at State of the Union, the airline, addressed their proposal, and I want to make sure that the membership's clear on a piece of that. Their proposal, written by the company that was given to us, their last proposal is dated July 24th of 2018. If they do present something and put it online, if it's not dated July 24th, 2018, that's not their proposal. And I think that's important, because from that date, we've been trying to negotiate to scope, and I'm talking about scope in this particular case, scope proposal that we're agreeable to and the company's agreeable to. And along the way, there have been pieces of it that we would agree to. But in totality, a tentative agreement has not been reached. And without that being reached, it's impossible for us to physically go in and come up with what would be a comprehensive proposal. So these are just proposals that have been made by the company along the way. And when I say that, we responded on August 8th with a counter proposal. And since then, there's been a working document created where we've talked about what we could or couldn't agree to. And we've made, so to speak, moves, and they've made moves that would get us to a complete document. However, without it being a tentative agreement, their proposal is the July 24, 2018. And if they put something else out, that's not their proposal. That's us working through the negotiations, which is the process to draw that to a conclusion. So I'm not sure what they're going to put out, but based on some of the things they're saying, I don't want the membership to get something and then say, well, the union was aware of this. There are things that we've tried to bargain for that might be successful, but without a tentative agreement, you just don't, you don't have a full agreement, so you can't really say that. Going back to their document, I just want to hit on a couple of other things. They failed to mention any type of retro. And retro throughout the history of negotiations at United and at Southwest has been a big component. And where they talk about we're leaving millions of dollars on the table, we're not leaving millions of dollars on the table. Our proposal is for full retro. And the membership needs to be aware of that. That's, again, another spin on the truth by the company to try and get members angry and upset with the union's bargaining team or the association's bargaining team. And that is our proposal on the table, and we do intend to recoup those millions. That's what's owed to us as members. And this $3,000 bonus we talked about before is a losing proposition because they're going to change payroll and take people's paychecks away. So they'll actually be people getting paid less than what their paycheck would have been, having to live off of that with their $3,000 bonus, which is sickening. And the rest of it, again, if you compared it to best in the industry, some of those don't even add up to best in the industry. However, when you put things in totality, and this is where I think it's critical that everybody understand, when you put the whole contract together, we've always said the value of the contract needs to be greater than, you know, Delta, United, now Southwest in the mix. And they've made some statements towards that, but yet we're not seeing that totality coming together. And the scope is where the real money is for them. It's where they save hundreds of million dollars and actually turn around and make money off of our backs in the future by not replacing us, so to speak, as people die, retire, attrit out for whatever reason. And that's really the shame of it, is they want to place what are our current jobs down in Mexico, and those of us that remain working on the property will, so to speak, now and forever move backwards and ultimately wind up in a worse position. On the second page, they talk about system-wide station and job protection as of date of signing, and every team member would continue to have a job in their classification at the same station. It doesn't say for a lifetime. It doesn't say guaranteed. It doesn't commit to anything around it other than they're going to let you come to work there at that station. And again, I'll caution everybody that it really, this is where the devil's in the details. And when we write a proposal and we agree on a tentative agreement to job security, we're looking for real job security, not some facade of job security. I talked about the retro already, so I'm not going to go into that. This nearly 2 years, team members have gone without higher pay. Not team members, just us. Their team's getting paid, and I'm going to touch on that. They've decided to give their management team another round of bonuses for failing miserably to produce, and themselves failing to produce. They're going to give themselves bonuses for failing to produce the contract and negotiate the contract they promised. I don't think Jerry Glass is capable of negotiating that contract, to be honest with you. I don't think he understands how to negotiate a contract out of having the bankruptcy court and using that as his leverage. We're not in bankruptcy. This is an opportunity for us to negotiate to what is a fair contract, and that fair contract should include thousands upon thousands of jobs outsourced. And the number right now is roughly 5,000 between Title I and Title II, the way their proposal on the table, that July 28th proposal that I spoke about, or I'm sorry, July 24th proposal, that's what it lays out to be, roughly 5,000 of what we have today gone. And they can debate that, and that's fine. But that's the negotiations, but that's what their document says, that they have the latitude to do, and our math. And I'd love to challenge them anytime in an open forum and debate that with them on what their proposal says. Because that's where the devil really is in the details. Just to close this out, they say they suggested an arbitration last month. I never heard about this arbitration. Arbitrations come with an arbitration agreement. You have to negotiate that. Who's going to do what, who owns what burden of proof, what you're going to present, what you're actually arbitrating, who might be the arbitrator. Similar to the buyout, one, never heard of this suggestion. It was never done at the bargaining table with us as an exec committee. So when they say, who they're talking to, it certainly wasn't to all of us at the bargaining table. And I can commit to the fact that myself and our negotiating committee was not told of this. And I don't believe the leadership was either. The backside of that is just like the early out the devil lies in the details. You can put a number out there, but they don't even talk about the stock clerks. They don't talk about the MCTs. They don't talk about anybody else leaving. Just aircraft maintenance and fleet service. And they don't say where, how many, when. So again, the devil's in the details. I just ask every union member to realize that the company's paying bonuses out at 51% performance, and I believe that's what they deserve at this point with the way they're bargaining, is for us to give them about 50% every day of the best that we can. Our passengers deserve better. Our flight crews deserve better. But the only way that we're going to get to better is by this management team and this leadership team changing their position and posture, recognizing the fact that they've destroyed the premium service that we once offered, and premium customers are leaving in droves. There isn't a workforce out there that's happy with the leadership of this company, and that's evident by what the response has been, except for the management team that they keep, you know, giving little bonuses to, or in some cases massive bonuses to, for failing as an airline. Certainly the stock price and stock performance and the Wall Street investment groups are challenging them on their failures. And at some point, I'm hoping this board of directors actually wakes up and decides maybe it is time for a management team change at the leadership level, at least at the CEO and chairman of the board level. Maybe Doug Parker should be the CEO, but maybe he shouldn't be chairman of the board, and somebody should be giving him direction on how to run this company, because I don't think he has a clue as to what he's doing. He's running the company into the ground, their team's running into the company into the ground, and there is no employee morale or engagement that's going on here like what's going on at Delta, where they reward people for what they do. So I'll leave it at that. I hope everybody understands that this messaging that they're putting out is simply that. It's messaging that's untrue. It's not fact-based. The people that signed the document weren't there. Jerry Glass should have signed this document if he wrote it, because Jerry Glass certainly knows that he didn't make a proposal on economics that we saw that said anything about wages, that we saw that anything to do with premiums, that we saw that had anything to do with any of the pay components. And until that happens, none of that exists, and we're not going to build our negotiations around fantasy and speculation. We're going to build it around what's written on the paper. And again, I'm going to go back to what it means is what it says, and what it says is what it means. And when we don't have clarity, we have notes that clarify for our members what exactly it means, so nobody's left in the dark when it comes to this contract. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you watching this video.